To do is, first of all, I know you're wondering, where are the pastors? Well, they're away. Okay, they're not here. Otherwise, they would be here. Amen? So I'd like to thank the pastors for this opportunity to stand before you and share the word. I also like to thank my wife for being such a blessing and an encouragement to me in the word. Amen? And in life. Now, do we have any, just a little house thing, do we have any first-time visitors here tonight? If you're visiting with us for the first time, just wave your hand. We like to acknowledge you and say hi. Amen. I guess we've been here before, right? Okay, good. That's out of the way. All right, now let's turn in our Bibles to John's Gospel, because under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we don't start any lesson here without beginning John 3:16. And also, I'd like to thank you for being here tonight. I didn't say that. Thank you for being here. Amen? Okay, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's read John 3:16. If you have the King James, read along with me. But if you have another version, read along as well. Amen? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that good to know? That God does what? Loves us so much. But not only us, he loves this world. Right? And how did he demonstrate that love? By giving, right? But what did he give? His only begotten Son, right? He gave his only begotten Son. God so loved. But now there's a condition to this, right? He gave his only begotten Son, right? And what's the condition? Whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. Now that's the heart of the gospel right there. Amen. And if that's all you knew, that's all you need to know, right? And share that with people. Amen. Now, I always like to start with a confession. Amen. And a confession a day keeps the devil away, right? So say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day I renew my mind to the word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the word and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. I trust in his holy word. Okay, hold on. Thank you, help me. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything that I find out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able, thank you, sweetie, once again, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life. I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now let me ask you this question. Do you believe that?
Yes.
You receive it?
Yes.
Then it's yours. Amen? Now here in RLCC, in our fellowship, we've been blessed over the 32 years, as I said earlier, with the teaching of the Word of God by our founding pastors, Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, and with our current pastors as well, Pastor Ed and Pastor Greg, right? And I don't know if you noticed this, but I've been sensing that there's been an intensity of the Word of God, like a concentration of the Word of God. Every lesson, whether it's church school or whether it's Sunday morning or whether it's Wednesday night, there's a level of a concentration of God's Word. Amen? And that's the best way I can articulate it. There's a concentration of God's word. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? You know, on them 7-day cruise. Okay, very good. Now, what happens the first day when you're on the cruise and you go to the buffet table? What happens? It tastes good, right? Man, this is great, right? But what happens around day 3, 4, 5, 6? What happens? What happens? It's tired. It tastes a little bland, right? What did they say over there? There's a lesson in that. He said it still tastes good. Now, here's the key. Here's the key. The key is this. The food was always the same. As he said there, he said it still tastes good because he knows it's still the same. Here's what's happened. What's happened to many of us when we go on those cruises and they have that 12 o'clock buffet, chocolate and cheese, whatever, fondues, you know, all that. What happens is we eat that food and it's so rich, but what happens is you don't exercise. And what happens is your taste buds and your appetite starts to go back and say, And what happens is for those of us who are smart enough and get up in the morning and run around the deck, you burn off that energy, you're hungry again and you have an appetite. Now, the same thing can happen to the Word of God. See, we can hear the Word of God, but we have to mix faith with what we're hearing. We're going to have to put some corresponding actions to our faith. It's not enough just to come and hear a nice message and get a CD and a DVD and go home. We have to exercise our faith. Amen? Now, what happened to me was several months ago, I was ministering to the Lord, you know, just being quiet and before the Lord. And what happened was he, out of the clear blue, he kind of like came out of left field with this question. And he asked me, he said, what is a minister? Right? Now, I'm smart enough to know that if God asks you a question, now listen to this. If God asks you a question, he's not looking to get the answer from you. He already knows it. But what he's doing is he's trying to locate you or get something across to you, right? So I knew that. So instantly, without even thinking, without hesitating, I said, I am a minister, right? Now, really, then what happened was, as I thought about it, I said, wait a minute, why did I say that? And then he told me, he said, I'm going to show you. He said, I'm going to show you. Come with me. That's what he told me. Come with me, and I'm going to walk you through the scriptures, and I'm going to show you why you're a minister. So my question to you tonight, and I need your help, okay? How many are you going to help me? When I say, who is a minister, what are you supposed to say?
I am a minister.
I am a minister. Let's go one more time. Who is a minister? Now let me ask you this. When you said that, did something feel funny inside? I know some of you probably think, well, wait a minute, I'm not ordained. You only to be a minister, you got to be ordained. You know, somebody's got to ordain you to be a minister. Not necessarily so. And we're not talking about ordination tonight. We're not talking about being ordination and being an ordained minister of an organization has its place. But what we're going to do tonight, we're going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to see what God has to say about a minister, right? So who's a minister? All right, very good. Amen. I got a good group here. Let's turn to two passages to start off tonight. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, because I have my notes down here. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Hold your place there. And also turn over to the book of Colossians. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 23. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight? All right. How many of you ready? All right. How many of you ready to go to that next level? How many of you happy where you're at? Let me see your hand if you're happy where you're at. Some people raise their hands. They're happy where they're at. Don't you know you always want to go up higher?
Amen.
You always want to go up higher. You want to be better. Listen, you want to be better tomorrow than you are right now. Amen. You got it? All right. Good. That was just a trick question. I wanted to make sure you were awake. Okay, everyone at Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Let's read it. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 7, whereof I was made what? A minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So Paul is really summarizing by saying, I was made a minister of what? Of the gospel, right? Now, turn over to Colossians. You're at Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 23. Let's read several verses. Let's read from 23 to 25. Is everyone there? Okay, I hear pages rustling. I'll wait. Is everyone there now? Okay, let's read. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am what? Paul was made what? So in other words, you have to be made, right? Let's keep on going. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made what? A minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Amen. So in other words, we see here in these two passages, Paul is saying what? He's a minister. Now, what I want to do is just for a working knowledge for us tonight, let's look at a definition of the word minister. Now, in dictionary.com, notice how far I went, right? Dictionary.com, the word minister says this, the noun. It says, a person authorized to conduct religious worship, member of the clergy or pastor. Here's another one. A person authorized to administer sacraments as at a mass. You know, that's for our other brothers, right? We know about them, right? Okay, not us. Okay, number three. A person appointed by or under the authority of a sovereign or head of government to some high office of state, especially to that of a head of an administrative department. Like, in other words, like the minister of finance, right? And here's the one I like. I'll just say this one. A person acting as the agent or instrument of another. You got that? Keep that in mind. A person acting as the agent or instrument of another. Now, the verb definition for a minister is to perform the functions of a religious minister. We all know that, right? Duh. To give service, care, or aid. To attend as to wants or necessities. Okay? In other words, to minister to the needs of the hungry. Now, in Strong's, now that was just the definition from the dictionary, right? Strong's concordance, the word minister is the word diakonos. Okay? Does that sound familiar? Diakonos, right? Now, I like the first word it says, to run on errands. You got that? Minister, diakonos. What? Run on errands. Now, when I first saw that, I thought about myself growing up because I'm the youngest of 10 children. And when my mother needed something from the store, guess who had to go on the errands? I was the errand boy, right? So I used to hate that. She'd say, oh, we need milk. Go to the store. We need bread. Go to the store. I need coffee. Go to the store. And then what she'd always say before I got out the door and bring back my change. How many of you heard that one? Because I used to try to run out before she said it. That way I could spend it on candy. But she always saying, bring back my change, right? So in other words, diakonos, to run on errands, right? Another definition of that word also means an attendant, like a waiter. Amen? Everyone got that? Waiting at table. I like, now this is Strong's, not me. So don't know why people don't get mad at me. Listen to this one. Wait at tables or other menial duties, especially Christian teacher or pastor. Now, that's Strong's, not me. That's why I had to say that. Then it says technically it means deacon, deaconess, minister, or servant, right? Now, how many of you had waiters? How many of you, you know, you've been around waiters? Think about this. What does waiters do? They serve who? The guest, right? Now, let me ask you this question. How would you feel about a waiter who was pushy or intrusive or doesn't serve you, how would you feel about that person? How would you tip them? Would you give them a tip? No. You would say they did a lousy job, right? So in other words, ministers according to the scriptures, right? According to the Bible and according to what we're looking at, ministers are, according to the scriptures, are servants. Okay? Ministers are here to serve others and not themselves. You got that? Who's a minister? Nah, I didn't hear everybody again. They got kind of low. Who's a minister? So in other words, we're not here to, we're here to do what? Serve others and not ourselves. Okay? That's called being self-serving, right? Now turn to another passage of scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I have the notes here. That's why I'm not, my Bible's over there, but I got my notes here. Because I can't hold both, you know. And look in the camera and smile. Okay? I haven't mastered that yet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 4. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Okay, now this is Paul, the apostle, speaking, right? And let's begin reading. Let a man so account of us as of what? The ministers of Christ and what? And stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Now notice what Paul said here. Look what he said. Let a man so account us as what? What are we going to... In other words, Paul is saying, I want people to think of me as what? As minister. What's another word for ministers? Servants of who? Who are you serving? Christ. And stewards. What is a steward? He's a trust. He's someone entrusted with something, right? So think of it this way. You and I, as ministers, right? Of who? Christ. We've been entrusted to handle what? The mysteries of God. Okay? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. So in other words, also for ministers, we need to be found how? Faithful. I'm glad you said that. Now let me read that in the Amplified, that same verse. So then let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. Got that? And it's all, like I said before, it's also required of us as ministers. We should be counted trust. People should be able to trust us or can count on us, okay? Now, some of you may be thinking, because I know your wheels are turning and you're thinking about this, you may be saying, by whose authority are you a minister? Because I told you who's a minister, right? And what are you supposed to say? Okay. Now, whose authority are you a minister? I'm glad you asked that. Somebody said that here. Whose authority? Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to find out whose authority, on whose authority we are ministers. Amen? Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Okay. Is everyone there? Now I hear pages rustling. I'll wait. Amen. Are you there now? Okay, let's read this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, right? And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has done what? Given to us what? So what ministry do we have? So in other words, as ministers, what kind of ministry we have? The ministry of reconciliation. Let's keep on going, right? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us what? What has God committed to us? Let's keep on going. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ said, be reconciled for God, to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Church, say this with me. Say, I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. My ministry is to tell everyone in the world that they have been reconciled, brought back to God. Everyone got that? So in other words, church, ministers are not made in seminaries. Ministers are not made in Bible colleges. Now listen, they serve a purpose, and I'm not putting those down, right? But according to the Word of God, ministers are developed through ministry. Got that? Let me say it one more time, because I think it flew over your head. Everybody got quiet. Ministers are developed through ministry. Okay? Then when we break it down another way, servants are developed through service. Okay? Did that make it? Now let's look at an example. Let's turn to the Old Testament. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. And who was a minister? Who was a minister? All right, I want to make sure you stay awake. I know it's getting a little cool in here. Exodus chapter 24, and let's look at verses 13 and 15, okay? Now here we're going to see an example of a minister, right? Who's the minister? You know what? I was asking this, but that was good though. It shows you're paying attention. That's good. Now in this passage, we're going to see an account of a minister by the name of Joshua. Okay? So is everyone there now? Okay, let's begin reading at verse 13. And Moses rose up, and his what? Minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry here with us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let them come unto them, right? And Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount, right? Now listen to this. I want you to get a picture of this. Moses is going with who? Joshua. Who's Joshua? His minister. And what is Joshua doing? He's serving Moses, right? But now where are they going? Up to the mountain, right? But they didn't go by themselves. Who went with them? Aaron and Hur and the elders. So I want you to get a picture of this. They're walking. Aaron and Hur. And let's say that the mountain's up there. Aaron and Hur and the camp. You guys are the camp, right? Now, Aaron and Hur and the elders stop here, right? Moses and Joshua are going up the mountain. See, so Joshua went with them. See, in other words, you got to be going with somebody if you're going to be serving them. You follow me? You follow this? So Joshua's going with Moses. Then Joshua gets to a point and he stays there. Moses goes up in the cloud. Now, we didn't read it, but I'll just tell you for time's sake, Moses was up there for what? 40 days and 40 nights. Got that? 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what happened in the camp? What happened in the camp? Idolatry, right? They got idol. See, when you start to get idol, you start to begin making idols. That's when you can tell you're in idolatry, because you were idol, right? So they're all idol, and they build, and then the strangest thing was, who helped them build their calf? But wait a minute, wasn't he supposed to be? What happened? Where were the elders? What? He was idle. All right. Here's what happened. Now, here's what happened. And we're talking about ministers are being developed, right? Ministers are developed. What happened was this. Aaron and Hur and the elders were down here. And Moses did say, if they come to you with a need, whatever, right? Come to you. Don't bother us, right? That's what they were really saying. But what happened was they became idle. Aaron, Hur, and the elders, they were hearing a noise in the camp. And they heard a noise, and they went over there to see what was going on. What's happening? What's happening? What's going on? And all of a sudden, they got wrapped up into it. Church, I'm here to tell you, there's a noise coming into the camp right now. There's a noise coming into this camp. And what'll happen is this. If you're found idle, you're going to be found idol worshiping. And if you let somebody, and what happened? Aaron and Hur got dragged into it. But now, where was Joshua? Now, follow this. Now, I want you to see this because we want to, I want you to see something here. This is very important. I'm painting a picture for you. Joshua was still at his post, right? Now, let me read this. Now, listen to this. In the Old Testament, I didn't share this with you, but I'm going to share it now. I painted that picture. Let that picture stay there. Freeze it, right? If you got a VCR or DVD, freeze it. In the Old Testament, the word minister is the word sharath. That means to attend. What was Joshua doing? Attending, right? But also it means to be a worshiper and to continue to serve. So here's what I like to share with you. While Joshua was up in the mountain, he was attending to Moses, but all he saw was the cloud. Joshua heard the noise in the camp, but he didn't know what the noise was. Here's what I'm trying to share with you, and this is what we want to look at. The qualities of being a minister is you have to remain steadfast. You have to stay on your post. You don't get moved when you hear noise and run over there. What happened was he stood his post. He was steadfast. He attended to Moses. But what else was he? He was a worshiper. See, if we worship God, then you won't be listening to the noise in the camp. And you won't be idle, and he stood focused, right? Now, let's look at this. Okay? He remained, as I said, Joshua, he remained steadfast with Aaron and the elders and her were in the camp, right? Joshua didn't even know what was going on. Because remember when Moses came down? And Moses knew because God told him what was going on in the camp. See, so you don't have to be in the camp to know what's going on. You just be where God tells you to be, and he'll tell you what's going on in the camp. Everyone follow me? All right. So now here it is. Joshua, he didn't even know what was going on in the camp, but he remained steady and steadfast. Okay, everyone got that? And another thing Joshua did, as ministers, we need to be mindful of. Joshua didn't allow the time factor to kick in. Everyone got that? He didn't allow the time factor to interfere with his mission. He knew he was going up with his leader, which is Moses. He knew he was going to wait on that position. He knew he stood focused. He didn't care about the time. Okay? He didn't allow time to become a factor, okay? Now, here's something that we need to watch out for. Don't allow time to interfere with your calling. Time is a terrible indicator of what God has called you to do. God is not moved by time, and neither should you. Now, some of us, we think about it, we say this to ourselves, well, I'm not getting any younger. You know, I'm past my youth or whatever. Let me share something with you. Think about this. How old was Abraham when he called him? How old was he when he called him in Genesis chapter 2? How old was he? 75. He was 75 years old. He wasn't waiting for no Social Security. He wasn't a member of AARP or whatever they got, right? But God called him at 75. Okay, how old was Moses when God called him? He was 80. Okay, you got it? How old was Josiah when he became king of Israel? 8 years old. You got that? So time is a terrible indicator of what God is doing in your life. And as ministers, we cannot afford to allow time to be an indicator. I ain't getting any younger. Well, we know that, but you know what? This has nothing to do with it. When God calls you, you move. Amen? The other thing I said was that, and I'm going to say it again, Joshua was also a worshiper. Church, there's something about worship. That as ministers of the gospel, ministers of reconciliation, we need to get so full of worship that things around us will become oblivious and we'll be in the presence of God. What did Jesus say in John chapter 4, verse 23? What did he tell the woman at the well? He said, woman, the time is now when they who were true worshipers will do what? Worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Why? The Father seeketh such to worship him. God hasn't changed. He's unchangeable, right? He's still seeking people who will worship him. In what? Spirit and truth. So now, who is a minister?
I am a minister.
All right, very good. Now, let's look at something here. Here's something else. Here's an example of Joshua. We're using him as an example tonight. In this example with Joshua, because he served Moses, right? Did you notice what happened? When it came time that Moses was going to go off the scene, who did God appoint to carry on the work? Joshua. You guys are smart. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So in other words, a minister must serve a ministry before God can entrust him with his own ministry. You got that? And we're going to see it here. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 7. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it. Now the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Moses, the son of Nun, Moses is what? Minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I will give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I've said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I sware unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So in other words, here's something I want you to think about, church. The anointing that was upon Moses to be the deliverer of Israel, now God was transferring that. You see that? God was transferring that anointing to Joshua to bring them into the promised land. Okay? Now, who's a minister?
I am.
Now, here's some things I want you to know. Here's some key things that we need to understand about being God's ministers. Amen? Number one, ministers don't pick where they serve. They go where they're sent.
Amen.
Let me say that one more time. Let me say it over on this side.
Yes.
Okay, that way you can hear it, right? Sure. Ministers don't pick where they serve. They go where they're sent. Now, remember Paul? What happened to Paul? Paul got into trouble very early in his ministry. Because remember, every time God called him to go to who? The Gentiles, right? But what did you find Paul doing? Going to his Jewish brethren, right? And he kept getting into trouble, right? He even says that in Romans chapter 10. Don't turn there, but just use it as a reference. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, he said, my heart's desire is for Israel, that they might be saved. But then when he got his act together, right? Then he realized, okay, I got to go where I'm sent. Now look at this. I'm going to read these scriptures. Just listen to these. Let's see where God sent this minister. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. You hear that? So we can say it this way. Paul, a minister of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Just listen to these. You can make note of them. Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and our Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So where did he go? He went to where Timothy was, in Ephesus, right? Here's another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul called to be an apostle by Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Where did he go here? He went to Corinth. See, he didn't pick to go there. He went there. He went where he was sent. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Got that? But by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren that were with me unto the churches of Galatia. So where was Paul sent? He went to Galatia. He didn't pick it. He went there, right? Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God. What's another word for servant? Minister. So we can say it this way. Paul, a minister of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. You follow? You get a picture? You see a picture here? Now, here's point number two. Ministers are developed through ministry. God uses people in ministry to teach or mentor others. And I'm going to give you an example of that here. Turn to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 6. We're going to look at Paul, right? Paul was a mentor to someone. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 5. Let me know when you're there. See, I don't have to turn. I got it right here. Is everyone there now? Let's read. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named what? Timotheus, right? The son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was what? A Greek, which was well reported by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. And they were ordained of apostles and elders, which were in were at Jerusalem. Sorry. So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when Paul was in Derbe and Lystra, who did he find? Timothy, a young man, right? But notice what it says. A disciple there. You got that? A disciple there named what? Timothy. Now, Paul mentions further. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. See, because here we see in Acts, Paul taking Timothy, right? And because of the Jewish brethren, he didn't want to start any controversy. That's why he had him circumcised, okay? So that way he can travel with him, okay? But now, let's see what Paul has to say about Timothy, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Is everyone there? Let's see what Paul says. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by what? By the putting on of my hands. So here it is. We see Paul encouraging this young man. He says, stir it up, man. Sometimes, you know, you got to have somebody who God calls alongside you to not only be a mentor and role model for you, but can tell you, hey, man, you need to step it up. That's what he's saying, step it up, okay? Now, let's see, let's look further. Go to 2 Timothy, because Paul further exhorts Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. And we're talking about this, right? Being a mentor. Now, let's see what Paul had to say here. He says this. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Okay, referring to himself. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. So in other words, ministers must have a willingness. They must display a willingness to be trained. You got that? Because if you don't want to be trained and say, oh, I'm a minister, then I don't think so. Not according to the scriptures, okay? Now, number three, as ministers, there are some things that are required of us. Okay, you got that? Who's a minister?
I am.
All right, I heard someone say, I am. Okay, we'll say the whole thing. Don't abbreviate it, but thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Remember, we were there earlier. Look at what he says. He says, let a man so account us as what? Ministers of Christ and what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's what? Required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. And I said that earlier, and I'm going to repeat it again. It also pertains to ministers. It's required of us that we be found what? Faithful. There's too many unfaithful people out there calling themselves ministers. And that's a tragedy. Amen? But that's not going to happen here. Amen?
Amen?
Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Because we're talking about there are some things required of us. So being faithful is one thing that's required, right? And let's look at another thing that's required of us. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of who? Of God, who hath also made us what? Able ministers. So say this to me. Say, I am an able minister of the new covenant. Let me keep on reading. Of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of what? But of the Spirit. For what? The letter killeth, but the Spirit does what? Give life. So in other words, church, here's what we're saying. God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. So in other words, we need to be Spirit-directed and inspired ministers. You got that? Now notice what he said. He said what? The letter does what? Kills, right? Now here's some food for thought. During this time, who were the people that held to the letter of the law? The Pharisees, right? Right, they're the Pharisees. But would you realize, and I'm gonna throw you for a loop here, but here's something to think about. So in other words, we could say during Jesus' time, the Pharisees were word people. They were. But they didn't have, now they had the word, the law. They were the word, but they didn't have the Spirit to go with the word. That's why as able ministers, we pride ourselves, well, we're a word church. Yeah, we can be a word church, but see, sometimes being a word church, you become pharisaical. But what we want to strive for is being a word church, but Spirit-directed. Spirit-directed word church. Because there's some people that say they're Spirit-directed, and you got to wonder where they, you know, how did they get here? You know, but what I'm saying is this. God has made us able ministers of this New Testament, and we are Spirit-directed, and we are Spirit-inspired ministers. Amen? Now, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's another thing required of us, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And this is very important. This is vital. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. He says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as what? Ministers of what? Of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Now let me say that again. Notice what he said. Giving no offense in anything. Ministers, us as ministers, right? Of this, of reconciliation. Us as ministers of this New Testament covenant, right? We need to be found, ministers are required to operate in the love of God.
Amen.
Now, if you want to find out more about, well, how do I operate in this love of God, then come on Sunday morning, Sunday church school. We have our brother Kevin Clark. He's doing an excellent job in teaching us and showing us through the Holy Ghost about understanding aspects of the love connection. Amen?
Yes.
So in other words, it's required of us as ministers that we operate in what? The love of God. Amen? Now, let me read that same passage in the Amplified. Let me read this. I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Got it, church? Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. Someone said, no. Oh, yeah. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with it and acknowledge it. You got that? So we can't be found getting into strife over scripture, right? Or who's going to go in the rapture first or last, right? Now, this is very important too. What did the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, have to say about being a minister? Amen. Don't you want to hear that? Okay, let's turn our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 20th chapter. Who was the minister? All right, good. Amen. You're with me. Matthew chapter 20. Verses 20 to 28. And this is a good story. I like this one. Well, I like all the Bible, but this is an interesting one. Okay, is everyone there? Tell me if you can identify with this one. Not that I'm saying I can, but I can see the potential, okay, of this happening. It hasn't happened, but I can see it happening. It's probably happened somewhere else, but not here. Okay, everyone there? Okay, let's begin reading at verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Watch out for somebody that comes worshiping and then want to desire something. Okay, let's keep on going. And he said unto her, what will thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit one on your right hand and other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. Do you hear that?
Yes.
And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, talking about communion, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, right? That means in the body. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now look at verse 24. And when the 10 heard this, they were what? Now I like the King James. The King James says that real nice, right? It sounds really moved with indignation. But I'm going to give you the Bronx version of that. The 10 were pissed off. When they heard this, they were angry, right? They were angry, right? But now look at verse 25. Remember the servant of the Lord, right? Verse 25. But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be among you, let him be your what? Your what? What's another word for minister? Okay, verse 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your what? What's another word for servant? Minister, okay? Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to do what? Minister, and how did he minister? To give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said this. He said the Gentiles exercise dominion and authority over others. See, that's when you can tell if you're operating by Christ's standards or the world's standards. Amen. See, the world looks at a title and says, I'm over you. Yeah. See? I'm over you. You know, right now I'm deacon in this church. So the Gentile mindset would say, oh, he's over them. See, but no. In the kingdom of God, and a lot of us know this, right? We're here to serve you.
Amen.
You don't know how much we're here to serve you. We're here to serve you so much, we want you to join us. And the leadership said, amen. There you go. Amen. I'm telling you. Now, greatness, listen to this. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not in possessions and position. It's in service.
All right.
Let me say that again. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not in positions or possessions. It's in what? In service. Service is the value in the kingdom of God. Let me reword it this way. Service is valued in the kingdom of God and not currency. All that gold you're wearing and all that gold that we wear, you know where it's at in heaven? It's out in the parking lot, it's asphalt. But you know what's valuable in heaven? Service. I'm not going to teach this now, but I shared it several years ago when I was talking about principles of the kingdom of God. And one of the things that I discovered in studying this, don't you know that the position that you're going to have in eternity will determine how you serve today? Okay, see a lot. Think about that. Who's a minister? Okay, we're still in Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Now, for time's sake, this is a parable. Jesus is talking parables, right? And he's talking about the king, right? But now, let's just pick this up here, okay? Because time is of the essence. Jesus is speaking, or in this parable, he's speaking. Because he's talking about these people, right? Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, right? Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me, right? Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty, or gave thee drink? And then here's verse 38. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left, this is the unrighteous, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Got this? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto one least of these, you did it not unto me. You get the drift? You follow what Jesus is saying? He's saying when you go and minister to that person that's in prison, you're doing it as unto him. When you go to that hospital and visit that person that's sick, you're doing it as unto him. But when you're not doing it and visiting them, he's counting that too, right? That's what he's saying here in this parable, right? But now let's keep on going, okay? Let me just say this. On several occasions, I've had opportunities to go on errands. Remember I said that word, errands? I'm going to use that word because if I say minister, I say, oh, that sounds official. No, I had opportunities to go on some errands, right? God sent me on some errands, okay? And one of the errands was I went to the hospital to visit a gentleman. And he's in a nursing home. And I remembered in the nursing unit of that area. And I had to walk way back here. And meanwhile, I'm passing about 10, 15 men just to get to one. And these men are looking, you know, and I'm on assignment, right? I'm on my errand and I'm there to minister to serve that one. But I thought about it. I said, what would it have been if I'd have had 14 other men with me? And as we went into that unit, you follow what I'm saying? And I didn't, let me say, we're talking about who's a minister? I'm not talking about going in and sharing with them how much you know about the Bible, eschatology, and all that other theology that you have. I'm talking about going and sitting down with somebody and just telling them, how are you doing? How's everything going? And then let the Holy Ghost lead the conversation and lead the situation. 9 times out of 10, when I've entered in that way, I've always got someone saying, I got a question about God. And then the Holy Ghost would give me what to share with them. So anyway, what I'm saying is, I'm saying this. I went to visit this gentleman. I visited this gentleman for 8 years. 8 years straight. And I always wondered, I said, God, what if I had other men to go with me? How much we could have accomplished? Because even when I went to go visit him, he'd have a guy would come by, one of his neighbors would come by and stay there, and then we'll talk, and we're all talking. And there was one guy next door. He even sent me to a guy next door. And the point I'm making is this, is how many more could we have touched if I'd have had other servants with me going to serve on that? I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody here, but I'm just saying something to think about and what Jesus said, right? And most recently, I went to visit a gentleman just a few weeks ago at the Rockland Psychiatric Center. Sick, right? And as I was driving there, because this is the first time I went there, and I'm getting the directions, and I drive and I turn around, and I look over to the left, and there's a big building, and it's a children's ward. This is a hospital filled with children in a psychiatric center. Are you getting the picture? You know, the chastisement of his peace was upon those children. But someone has to go and tell them. And I just saw that and I said, God, I said, Father, you know, if and I'm just saying, is these are things. I look at this board out here. There's a hospital that's welcoming us, is giving us opportunities to come and minister. It's right on that board right out there. And what they want you to do, little simple things. But don't you know, if you do that, what did Jesus say? If you do this to the least of them, you're doing it for me. Now, I know we all love Jesus. There's no question about it. We sung it. We're living it. We love Jesus. But do we love Jesus enough that we're willing to step out of our comfort zones, that we're willing to allow him to send us to a place? And are we willing to remain steadfast in our services unto him? Are we willing to be ministers of reconciliation? Let me share this other scripture. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And while you're turning there, let me just say this. Ministers and servants of the Lord, right? Ministers of reconciliation. They look for opportunities to minister and serve others at the expense of themselves. Okay? Several years ago, I'm going to get to that scripture, but I just want to say this. Several years ago, we had nightly Bible teaching out in here at the church, right? And I was one of the teachers, and some of the other people that are teachers can attest to this. There was a core group. I mean, some people would come and go, you know, visitors, whatever. But I started to recognize over the years that there was a core group of people that would be in those meetings. It made no difference what you were teaching, whether it's faith, healing, holy living, confession. This core group was always there, right? Now, here's something that I noticed. I began observing that group. Okay, Bible studies have stopped, right? But I began to observe that group, those group of people, right? Virtually every one of them, this is my observation. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Virtually every one of them is involved in ministry in this church today, right now. They're involved in the youth group. They're involved in the prison ministry outreach. They're involved in the volunteer service. And some of them are in ministries of helps. Now, what happened? They availed themselves to the Word of God, right? When we had those teaching sessions, they got so full of the Word of God that they had to go somewhere and dispense it. You see, you follow where I'm coming with this? We're full of the Word of God. Right now, God is wanting us to be available, to be in position, to be ready to go when he wants us to serve, where he wants us to serve, when he wants us to serve. Is everyone at Mark chapter 10? Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And we'll close with this. But Jesus called them unto him, his disciples, and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Verse 43, but it shall not be among you. For whosoever will be great among you shall be what? Your minister. What's another word for minister? Who is a minister? Who is a servant? Okay, and whosoever of you will be chiefest, let him be what? Servant of all. Okay, for even so the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Church, our ultimate goal is to one day hear the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, say this to us. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father God, I thank you that you've given me this message to share with your people, my brothers and sisters. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you will fit it the way that it needs to be fitted for each and every one of us. Father, each and every one of us tonight, we desire, it's our heart's desire to serve you. And what we're going to do, we're just asking you to take this message and any other things that you would bring across our path to help us to see where our place is. Father, because as we saw in this lesson this evening, that ministers are developed, ministers are formed and called. Each and every one of us in here are ministers of the gospel. ministers of reconciliation, ministers of telling this world that it has been reconciled back to Christ. And Father, I pray that tonight, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, anyone listening and watching this message, that they will not leave and disconnect until they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you because you loved us so much. You sent your Son for us. And right now, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, with every head bowed, you raise your hand, and I will be pleased and privileged to share with you the scriptures and the truth that is ours in Christ and yours.